Although stem cell research is a common topic in the news, the issue is more in the forefront recently now that U.S. President Obama plans to reverse restrictions placed on embryonic stem cell research enacted by the Bush administration. Two recent studies from McMaster University have added to this body of knowledge. For the first, published in the journal Nature Biotechnology, has provided the means to differentiate between normal stem cells and cancer stem cells. And in the second, published in the March 6th issue of Stem Cell, McMaster researchers were able to instruct stem cells to convert into blood cells. What is the state of research today? What are the present-day clinical implications? And what direction is the science leading? I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Mick Bhatia, Scientific Director of the McMaster Stem Cell and Cancer Research Institute in the Michael G. DeGroote School of Medicine, Professor in the Department of Biochemistry and Biomedical Sciences, Faculty of Health Sciences at McMaster University. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to first start off for our listeners for a definition of what exactly are stem cells, where they're found, what are the issues with respect to harvesting these cells, and some of the issues pertaining to that.
So I think to start off, stem cells are found from two sources. So one that we talk about a lot is the embryonic source, but we have to remember they're also adult stem cells. And a good example of an adult stem cell is probably bone marrow stem cells. Mm-hmm. Bone marrow transplants, which people hear about, occur because there are blood stem cells residing in the bone marrow that can be transplanted from one person to the next. And that recipient then regenerates, because of that blood stem cell, a whole new blood system. And I keep using the word blood in an explanation for adult because we now understand that adult stem cells are found in the brain, but those cells only give rise to brain tissue, neural mm-hmm. tissue. They're found in the heart, but they only give rise to cardiac-type tissue. So they're very restricted, and they come in multiple types. That's in contrast to the other category of stem cells, which is an embryonic stem cell. Now, these come from consented discarded embryos where you can create a cell line, which means you can take a small portion of that embryo and grow it in a dish. And in a culture, in a petri dish, those cells can be grown indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And there's no need to go back to more and more embryos unless there's something wrong with the cell line you have. The difference is those embryonic stem cells are not just restricted to differentiate into one cell type. They can make multiple cell types. So the bone marrow-derived stem cell in the adult can only make blood, whereas the embryonic stem cells mm-hmm. can make blood, neural cells, and other types of cells. And so the difference there is that there are two different kinds of stem cells. The potential advantages of using embryonic stem cells, or the distinctions, are that it can grow in a dish and can be grown in large numbers for multiple cell types. Mm-hmm. Whereas the adult cells cannot be grown in a dish. They actually, once you put them into a petri dish, they differentiate into a mature cell type and die, and they can't be grown indefinitely,
right,
which means you have to keep going back and harvesting them. So those are the two types of stem cells. And stem cells in general are different than all other cell types because they just don't produce mature cells that function like muscle cells mm-hmm. or cardiac cells or red blood cells. But they actually have the ability to not only produce differentiated cells, but they also keep the ability to make copies of themselves. If they just simply became if a bone marrow-derived stem cell just simply became blood, a red blood cell, then it would be lost forever, and you'd have right. to get another renewable source of that cell. But what the cell does is it actually makes a copy of itself, and then also can one of its daughter cells can differentiate. And that's very unique to stem cells.
What triggers stem cells to change and convert into specific cell lines?
Well, I think this is what we're trying to understand, and part of trying to understand that process is, in part, why we're studying cells that we can grow into a dish, where we can go back and ask the question several times. You know, was it this protein? Was it this gene? Was it another gene? Much of it is very linear. Mm-hmm. We start one process and trial and error, and we try another process. But that requires you to keep going back to the same source of cells. It's very difficult to study that process in the adult because every individual that we get the cells from is different, and you might get a different response. Mm-hmm. And so that really lies where what we're trying to understand. Right. How does an embryonic stem cell in that particular case out of that cell. And I should use the word, I'll transition from the word embryonic to pluripotent.
Okay.
Pluripotent, pluri, meaning many in Latin. So you can form multiple cell types, as opposed to an adult cell, which I keep reinforcing is restricted to the cell, to only making cell types from which it was derived. Heart stem cells only make heart, blood only make blood. So we're very interested in how we can control how these pluripotent stem cells make decisions. How do we make sure that they make the cell type we want for the potential which we're really seeking, which is to how to go into the clinic?
What were the questions then that you wished to answer in the first study that I mentioned in the introduction in Nature Biotechnology?
Yeah, so it's an interesting. So that study actually came about after about 5 years of work. And if you recall, I mentioned earlier that one of the things that distinguishes any kind of stem cell, adult or pluripotent,
right,
is its ability to make copies of itself. Well, if you think about it, that is a feature that is shared very much with cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
What cancer cells do is they form copies of themselves, and they fail to produce the mature cells that have, once mature, have a specific life cycle. They do their function, transport oxygen if they're a red cell, contract if they're a muscle cell, but then they die, and then they have to be renewed. And that constant life cycle or turnover is sustained by stem cells. But cancer cells seem to make copies and copies and copies and don't make mature cells. So it's like they seem to have the one foot on the accelerator and have no brake.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we realized it was the features that we have to have in a stem cell are also features shared with cancer cells. So it became very important for us to then say, well, how do we tell them apart? You know, if they share that property, and it's such a critical property for both how a tumor grows,
mm-hmm.
in which case we want to kill it and use that property to kill that cell. But on the other side, on a stem cell, we want to be able to harness that property of making copies of itself, but not lose its ability to make the mature cells that are really performing the function. And so our study, so that long explanation was to give you the background of why we started our study 5 years ago. And what we came up with was essentially a series of tests, a litmus test, to tell the difference between two cells that look almost identical and separate them into two categories, one that's a cancer cell, and one which is a normal stem cell that has both a brake and an accelerator in an appropriate way versus the cancer cell that just seems to press the accelerator.
So
and that's what that study did. It provided a series of tests now mm-hmm. that we believe will assure us that we're only working on pluripotent cells that are not cancerous, but also assure us that we're not putting any cells or thinking about those cells for cell replacement therapies that may have cancerous properties. That's something we don't want to go into the clinic with.
So does this suggest then that when you are looking at an amalgamation of stem cells, that this technique now literally acts like a filter to prevent any of those cells that may have cancerous pathology, or at least the metabolism of that particular cell is such that it would lead to cancerous change, that you can weed out those cells. So in the event of an application of a clinical therapy, you will avoid the effect of potentially introducing a cell line that may lead to a cancerous change.
Absolutely. And the test that I'm sort of simplifying the test is actually a very rigorous series of 12 independent sort of micro tests to make absolutely certain that you're not using, certainly from a clinical transplant, never transplanting a cell that there was any suspicion that was had any cancerous properties. But also, you know, there's a lot of research that has to be done in this area. Getting back to your earlier question about mm-hmm. how do stem cells make different cell types. And we don't want to waste research time or money or resources on cells that are cancerous. That's
exactly
not what we're ever going to use because they have a very different physiology. So a gene or a protein that triggers blood formation in a normal stem cell might be very different in a cancer stem cell. And there's no sense in wasting our time understanding properties of differentiation in a cancer stem cell.
We're in conversation with Dr. Mick Batia, Scientific Director of the McMaster Stem Cell and Cancer Research Institute in the Michael G. DeGroot School of Medicine, Professor, Department of Biochemistry and Biomedical Sciences, Faculty of Health Sciences, at McMaster University. And when we come back, we're going to look at the second study, McMaster study, that was published in Stem Cell, that where researchers were able to instruct these stem cells to convert into blood cells and the clinical implications in this particular area of research. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sunday House Call. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.